The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Some Greeks who had come to worship at the Passover feast came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there also will my servant be. The Father will honor whoever serves me. I am troubled now. Yet what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. But it was for this purpose that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd there heard it and said it was thunder. But others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered and said, "The voice did not come for my sake, but for yours. Now is the time of judgment on this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself." He said this, indicating the kind of death he would die. The Gospel of the Lord. First of all, as a good Irishman, I'd be remiss if I did not wish you all a happy St. Patrick's Day. Thank you so many for wearing green. I was not unable to, but just imagine that I'm wearing green for St. Patrick's Day. As we enter into these final days of Lent, as I mentioned at the beginning of Mass, we enter into Passiontide, where the Church points us towards the suffering and death of Christ, our Savior. Reminds me of a conversation I had with an older priest just a few months before I was ordained to the priesthood. Me and a few classmates out at Mount St. Mary's went to visit a priest. He was in his late 70s or early 80s. He was a priest that we looked up to, that lived a good and holy priestly life, that seemed to have great joy in serving God and his church. We kind of asked him what we could expect or if there was any advice he might give us as we prepared for this exciting new life. And as we asked him that, he got very somber and serious for a moment. And he said, "Just know that one day the church will break your heart. One day she will break your heart." I remember thinking, that's not a very fun thing to tell some excited new priests. And yet this priest wasn't bitter or angry about it. He wasn't one that had left the priesthood behind or anything like that. But I think he, through his years of service, knew that at some point we have to enter into this time with Jesus that leads toward the cross. That it wasn't that the church was insufficient, but it was that maybe what he had expected from maybe the hierarchy of the church, maybe at a certain pastoral assignments, that hadn't come to fruition. But it was exactly in that moment of disillusionment or that moment of suffering that he found a way to unite himself to Christ on the cross. That he started to discover what it meant to love as Christ loves, not worrying what we get in return, but instead seeking to give generously. To use the words of Jesus in the gospel, that's the moment that we decide to be like the seed that dies, that opens up so that it can bear great fruit. It's not that the suffering is for nothing or just some sort of test from God, But instead, it's a moment to really choose to love generously, to be focused more on what we can give than what we receive. Because brothers and sisters, that's what Christ shows us on the cross. It's not just what he was willing to endure out of love for us. It's not just the length he would go to be obedient to God, his Holy Father. Instead, in each of those moments, he's choosing to give rather than to receive. Choosing love even when we don't return it to him, so that his Father can be glorified. That's the path he is preparing to set down in today's gospel. That when Philip brings him this foreigner, this Greek, one that's not part of the Jewish people, Jesus knows that when the Gentiles start to come to the Messiah, that is the moment that God will be glorified. Jesus also knows that moment of glory isn't a moment that he's going to be exalted and crowned an earthly king. It's not the moment that he's going to be known throughout all the world and everyone will praise him and worship him. Instead, he knows that the moment of great glory will be when he's rejected. It will be when he's insulted and spit upon by many others. It's hard to know whether Jesus knew exactly what the crucifixion would look like, but I think it's safe to say from what he says in today's gospel that he knew it wasn't going to be a fun journey. Instead, he knew that in that suffering, it was how he could open himself up to love as God the Father loves. To love others even when that love is not returned. That was how he would glorify the Father. That's how God would overcome sin and death for us. That like that old priest said, that it's in realizing that the other one will break your heart, but you can still love anyways. That the glory of Christ on the cross is showing that he can love us even when we don't return that love, even when we do the exact opposite of that, even when we break his heart with our sins or our rejection of his love. Brothers and sisters, I think that's what we're invited into through these last few weeks of Lent. It's not just to make it through the last few moments and hope we can rejoice at Easter. Instead, it's to say, Lord, help me to choose to follow you. That in those moments of suffering, when I feel rejected or abandoned, when I feel far away from God, it's precisely in those moments that I can love better. Because in those moments, I'm receiving very little in return. Instead, in those moments, I can choose to be like the seed that dies, that opens itself up to bear great fruit. That it's in those moments that I can give rather than receive. Jeremiah is reminding the people of in the first reading that the covenant with God had been broken, that the people had abandoned God, that they had gone and worshiped other gods, that they had tried to find their happiness and holiness in other places. And so if God was just going to treat us as we treated him, then there would be no covenant at all. And God would walk away and say, good luck. You can figure it all out on your own. But that was not what he told Jeremiah. Instead, he's going to make a new covenant, to write a new law upon their hearts so that he can create a clean spirit within them. That's how they shall know that I forgive them, that I love them. I think we can use the words that he has not given up on us. And instead, he renews that covenant even when we break his heart or go against him. Brothers and sisters, let us seek to join ourselves to that passion and saving love of Christ our Savior. That we too can take up our crosses, that we can enter into that suffering. Not as a test, not as a way to prove how holy and virtuous we are, but instead as a way to purify our love. Show that we can love generously and die to ourselves even when that is not returned to us. I would say like that old and holy priest taught me many years ago that even when our hearts are broken, even when we're rejected or that love is not shared with us, even then we can still offer that love to God and to our neighbor. That is the love that will overcome sin and death. That is the love that leads us into the resurrection, of Jesus Christ. Let us pray that these final 2 weeks of Lent can be a good preparation for us, that we can walk with our Savior towards Calvary, that like Him, through our sufferings, we can learn obedience, that like Him, through those trials and tribulations, we can imitate that generous love of God our Father.